From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Times, an online news publication with an emphasis on stories that affect residents of Lawrence, Douglas County, and Kansas. Information at lawrencekstimes.com.
41 degrees in Lawrence, 44 in Topeka, 46 in Abilene. The time is 6:06.
Trump wants lower interest rates, but if people come to see the Fed as less able to control inflation, we could end up with both higher prices and higher interest rates.
That is NPR's Scott Horsley and Mara Eliason. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Good to be with you.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, many other frequencies as well, and always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, working to address major challenges in disease prevention and treatment, sustainable energy solutions, and more. Information about KU research is at ku.edu.
Stay tuned. News headlines coming up at 6:30, immediately followed by an update on what's been happening in Minnesota today. Immediately followed by an overview of the Aurora Borealis sightings that we have been having lately. Seems like when I was a kid, that was super rare, and I think this has happened, I don't know, 3 or 4 times this year? Are we seeing them more often? Is something weird going on? Do we need to be concerned about the geomagnetic sphere on top of everything else? We'll find out coming up on KPR. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from Maselli's, now hosting events from 25 to 400 at an expanded downtown location, offering both full-service wedding event planning and hosting, as well as catering to weddings off-site. Venue information online at maselli's.com.
Partly cloudy skies this evening, mostly cloudy after midnight, lows in the lower 20s. Tomorrow, sunshine and a high in the upper 40s. It's going to be the last day we see in the upper 40s for a while. Lows around 18 tomorrow night, highs in the 30s for Thursday, a high on Friday of 15 degrees. Yes, that's right, 15 will be the high. Get your woolies out, going to need them. 41 degrees in Lawrence, 44 in Topeka. The time is 6:20.
Support for NPR.
The Federal Reserve. At issue is Trump's attempt to fire Lisa Cook, a Fed governor. Learn more tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us 5 to 9 a.m. tomorrow on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from Nuvant House of Lawrence, offering care services to assist living, including day-stay, short-term, and long-term options. Information at nuvanthouse.com.
Stay with us. News headlines coming up in about 45 seconds. We are with you till 7 o'clock tonight on All Things Considered. But up next, national and international news from NPR, followed by a quick update of what's going on regionally from me. The time is 6:30.
NPR News.
And from Washington, you're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. A Kansas agency designed to steady the health care market is seeking a budget increase to help meet the rising costs of medical malpractice lawsuits. The Kansas Health Care Stabilization Fund provides expanded malpractice insurance to 22,000 medical professionals across the state. Fund leaders say the number of claims has risen over the past 2 years. In a committee meeting today, Republican State Representative Will Carpenter said multiple factors are driving up the cost.
As inflation goes on and all this kind of stuff, these lawsuits are costing more and more money. It's just that simple.
Fund leaders are asking for an additional $750,000 to meet the rising cost of malpractice claims since last year.
Fort Riley, home of the 1st Infantry Division, has become the first Army base in the nation to offer free Wi-Fi services to single soldiers living in the barracks. Colonel Jerry Nunziato is the garrison commander of the Big Red One.
We're actually the pilot program for the Army of introducing free Wi-Fi into barracks. So there's no other barracks on Army installations that currently provide Wi-Fi for their soldiers.
Free Wi-Fi was activated inside most barracks at Fort Riley last Friday. The remaining buildings will come online in the next 2 weeks. Kansas City's airport is adding flights to accommodate the hundreds of thousands of fans expected to visit during this summer's World Cup. Hallie Jackson reports.
Tens of thousands of fans are expected to come from Argentina, the reigning World Cup champion. And two new nonstop flights will travel between Kansas City and Buenos Aires to accommodate them. Pam Kramer is CEO of Kansas City's organizing committee.
Certainly having the first match here in Kansas City, we know we will be the starting place for the defense of the cup. The fans are passionate and follow the team, and we are thrilled to be part of it.
Other new flights link Kansas City to fellow host cities, and KCI says it expects a flight from the island nation of Curaçao to Kansas City as well. I'm Hallie Jackson.
Partly cloudy skies this evening, lows in the lower 20s, mostly cloudy after midnight, sunshine tomorrow with a high in the upper 40s. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Support.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
New year.
I want to ask about the United States Senate for 2026. This is a map where...
New beginnings.
So, Scott, what's your sense of how this is going to play out?
New stories.
Wow, wasn't expecting that. What do they want out of this lawsuit?
Wherever 2026 takes us, Morning Edition from NPR News will be there. Stay informed with us every weekday morning.
You can hear Morning Edition 5 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday on your KPR stations. Let's see, tomorrow's Wednesday. So, yeah, Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. Matthew Algio will be your local host. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, many other frequencies all around the state, and always streaming on the World Wide Web, kansaspublicradio.org. Stay tuned. We still have 11 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. If you're joining us on KPR One Stations, we will get you an update of news headlines at 7:01, followed by Stardate and classical music with Steve Seal as your host. At 9 o'clock, we shift gears, and it's Jazz in the Night. If you're joining us on KPR 2 at 7 o'clock, you'll hear Reveal.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics, hosting former archivist of the United States, Colleen Shogun, at the Elizabeth Dole Women in Leadership Lecture, January 29th, 7 p.m. More at doleinstitute.org.
Partly cloudy skies for the next couple of hours, mostly cloudy after midnight, lows in the lower 20s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the upper 40s. Tomorrow night's low, around 18 degrees. It's 40 degrees in Lawrence. It's 10 minutes before 7.
And from Viking, dedicated to creating travel experiences for the thinking person, with programs designed for cultural enrichment on board and on shore. Learn more at viking.com. From Luminescence Foundation. Luminescence Foundation is dedicated to shedding light on neurological research focused on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases and supporting land conservation initiatives. From Workday. Workday is an AI platform for forward thinkers dedicated to transforming the way business leaders manage people, money, and agents today so they can transform tomorrow. Workday. Moving business forever forward. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
The Supreme Court hears arguments in a case that could give President Trump and future presidents unprecedented control over the Federal Reserve. That story on the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, the latest national, international, and regional news and weather. Matthew Algio will be your local host. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City, 91.3. KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care. Winter dormancy is the ideal season for pruning mature trees, especially elms and oaks. More information at kansastreecare.com or by calling 785-843-TREE.
Up next, news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Steve Seal, followed at 9 o'clock by Jazz in the Night.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
We're expecting a low in the lower 20s tonight, highs in the upper 40s tomorrow, lows in the teens tomorrow night. It's 40 degrees here in Lawrence. The time is 7:01 and the news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The Trump administration has issued subpoenas against top Democratic officials in Minnesota, including Governor Tim Walz, Attorney General Keith Ellison, and Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey. The Justice Department says the officials have obstructed the federal immigration enforcement operation there. The Department of Homeland Security says agents have arrested 3,000 people since last month, though NPR has not independently verified that number, and the administration is vowing to continue, as Minnesota Public Radio's Matt Sepik reports.
At a news conference in the Twin Cities this afternoon, Customs and Border Protection Chief Greg Bovino said arrests will continue, and he accused local leaders of allowing, quote, criminal illegal aliens to roam the streets. Bovino says ICE agents are following the law. But Bovino's comments fly in the face of documented incidents where masked, heavily armed agents broke into people's homes without judicial warrants.
Minnesota Public Radio's Matt Sepik. President Trump's insistence that the U.S. acquire Greenland is overshadowing the annual World Economic Forum meeting in Davos, Switzerland this week. As NPR's Danielle Kurtzleben reports, Trump is threatening new tariffs on any nation that stands opposed.
Trump recently threatened to tariff 8 European nations, all of them NATO members, if a deal is not reached for the U.S. to purchase Greenland, part of the Kingdom of Denmark. Trump also texted the Prime Minister of Norway that the fact he didn't win the Nobel Peace Prize is weighing on his decision-making. Overnight, Trump posted that French President Emmanuel Macron texted him, quote, "I do not understand what you are doing on Greenland." Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent spoke already at Davos today defending Trump's tariffs. Tomorrow, Trump will speak, and Thursday will be an event for the Board of Peace that the president created to oversee the reconstruction of Gaza, where Trump has attempted to end the conflict between Israel and Hamas. Danielle Kurtzleben, NPR News.
Maryland Democratic Governor Wes Moore's redistricting commission is sending the state legislature a congressional map that could get rid of the state's lone Republican seat, WYPR's Sarah Petrowich reports.
Nationwide efforts to redistrict started last summer when President Trump asked Republican-led states to redraw their congressional boundaries to favor the GOP in the 2026 election. Maryland is one of a few blue states looking to counter those efforts, and the governor's redistricting commission is recommending a map that could deliver a congressional sweep for Democrats. 7 of Maryland's 8 U.S. House seats are already held by Democrats. The new map would loop Democratic-dominated areas into the state's sole Republican district. It is now up to Maryland lawmakers to approve the map, but Democratic Senate President Bill Ferguson has been unwavering in his objection, calling the recommended map, quote, unconstitutional. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Petrowich in Baltimore.
Stocks sank on Wall Street today. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Stardate January 20th. Orion is a land of monsters. It's packed with stars that are among the most impressive in the galaxy.
They're big, heavy, and bright. Even among all those superstars, though, Lambda Orionis stands out. It consists of two monster stars. The largest is about 35 times the mass of the Sun and perhaps 200,000 times brighter. Orion is home to so many major stars because it's on the leading edge of a spiral arm, a zone where many new stars are being born. Lambda belongs to a cluster that's one hotbed of starbirth. It contains many stars of all sizes and masses. Lambda's main star is the brightest and heaviest in the cluster. The cluster is encircled by a ring of gas and dust, probably outlining the shockwave of a massive star that exploded as a supernova. Lambda's radiation zaps the material in the ring, making it glow. Lambda is only a few million years old, yet its time is almost up. Because it's so massive, it will live a very short life. Soon, it may explode as a supernova, with its core collapsing to form a black hole. On the other hand, it might be massive enough for the entire star to become a black hole, with no explosion at all. A monstrous ending for a monster star. Orion is in the east and southeast at nightfall. Bright orange Betelgeuse marks its left shoulder. Lambda is to the upper right. Despite its true brilliance, it looks fainter than many of the Hunter's other impressive stars. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Good evening. It's classical music for a Tuesday evening. I'm Steve Seal. We're going to have Beethoven's Seventh as the major work in this hour, and some piano music of Arvo Pärt, and this march by English composer Sir William Walton, which was written for the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II. The Crown Imperial, as played here by the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Andrew Litton. The Crown Imperial by English composer Sir William Walton. And yes, I must issue a correction. Crown Imperial was actually written for the coronation of King George VI in 1937. It was played at the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II in 1953. Walton wrote the Orb and Scepter March for Queen Elizabeth's coronation, just in case you're taking notes at home.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Topeka Symphony presenting Billy the Kid on Saturday, featuring Copland, Boyer, Debussy, and more. Information and tickets available at topekasymphony.org. And Bridge Haven in Lawrence, providing family-style memory care in a home environment and 24-hour nursing care on site. More information is at mybridgehaven.com. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 44 and fair. Wind is from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 20s. Wind will be from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 50s. Wind will be from the west at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the upper teens. It's 44 and fair.
Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
The premiere of Beethoven's Seventh Symphony was another one of those big sort of overstuffed concerts with other big works on it, like Wellington's Victory. It was one of those concerts where, can you imagine this kind of thing happening today? The second movement was so popular that the audience essentially had this ovation and demanded it be played again. That just... inconceivable. We should do that sort of thing more often these days. Michael Tilson Thomas here with the San Francisco Symphony, Beethoven's Seventh.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Oh, that's really nice to hear. An audience ovation at the end there. Didn't even know that was a live recording. That's the San Francisco Symphony, led by Michael Tilson Thomas, and the Symphony No. 7 by Beethoven. This is from Arvo Pärt. It's his Ukuaru Waltz, played here by pianist Georgis Osokins. Now that is a piece of music that would be very, very difficult in a name the composer quiz, because it doesn't sound anything like the style that Arvo Pärt came to be known for. His Ukuaru Waltz, which was written for a film of the same name, Ukuaru, back in the early 1970s. And we heard it played there by pianist Georgis Osokins. I want to invite you to check out the latest edition of SymphonyCast at our website. It's got an incredible performance by the clarinetist Martin Frost, who plays a new work that was actually dedicated to him. And there's music of Dvorak and Anna Klein on it as well. You'll find all that at SymphonyCast at yourclassical.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 41 and fair. Wind is from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 20s. Wind will be from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 50s. Wind will be from the west at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the upper teens. It's 41 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
That's not only a very, very famous opening, but it's also a bit of a red herring, because Edvard Grieg leads you to think that there's going to be all manner of tumultuous drama that proceeds from these dramatic opening notes to his piano concerto in G, but no, it's a head fake. Of course, the drama does come back. The opening and the fantastic finale of Grieg's piano concerto might be its most famous moments, but that ignores the fact that there's so much great music in between those moments too. In fact, a half an hour's worth. Lars Wolf is going to be the soloist for us in just under 15 minutes.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The Department of Justice has issued subpoenas for Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, the state's Attorney General Keith Ellison, and Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey. The Trump administration alleges the Democrats have been obstructing the immigration enforcement surge in the state's two largest cities. Walz, Ellison, and Frey have condemned the crackdown as dangerous, citing the fatal shooting of a 37-year-old woman by an immigration officer. Today, President Trump defended how federal agents have been operating.
They're going to make mistakes sometimes. ICE is going to be too rough with somebody, or, you know, they're dealing with rough people. They're going to make a mistake sometimes. It can happen. We feel terribly. I felt horribly when I was told that the young woman who was had the tragedy. It's a tragedy. It's a horrible thing. Everybody would say it. ICE would say the same thing.
Trump administration officials have previously described the woman, Renee Macklin Good, as a domestic terrorist who attempted to ram federal agents with her car. President Trump's tariff threats over Greenland are straining relations with America's key NATO allies. French President Emmanuel Macron criticized Trump's approach, warning of potential retaliation. The European Union's top official says tariffs would be a mistake and are threatening their own economic sanctions. Trump argues the U.S. needs Greenland to counter threats from China and Russia. Legal observers have been waiting for a Supreme Court decision on President Trump's tariff powers, but as NPR's Anina Totenberg reports, it likely won't come until February.
Despite what most people think, nobody except Supreme Court personnel has any idea what cases are going to be announced on opinion days, and today was no exception. Despite the drumroll of tariff predictions, the justices delivered three decisions in relatively obscure procedural cases, and with only oral arguments scheduled for tomorrow. After that, the court is not expected back on the bench until February 23rd. As the coming month is the midterm break reserved for justices to work on writing opinions in outstanding cases. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
Forecasters are warning that a new storm could bring ice and power outages across the south this weekend. The exact timing and path remain uncertain, but an Arctic air mass from Canada is expected to clash with rain, creating a major winter storm from Texas to North Carolina. Temperatures will be slow to warm in many areas, meaning ice that forms on roads and sidewalks might stick around. Northern states will remain in a deep freeze due to polar air. The forecasted high for Minneapolis on Friday is negative 10 degrees. Stocks sank on Wall Street today after President Trump threatened to hit European countries with new tariffs over his attempts to take over Greenland. The S&P 500 fell more than 2%, the Dow dropped more than 1.7%, the Nasdaq slid nearly 2.4%. It's NPR. Israeli forces have targeted two United Nations facilities as part of their crackdown on the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees. Crews bulldozed the United Nations Relief and Works Agency's offices and fired tear gas at a vocational school. Israel's foreign ministry says the demolition enforced a new law banning UNRWA, claiming the agency has ties with militant groups. The UN has denied those claims. Israel has long claimed the agency has an anti-Israel bias, often with little evidence. A new study finds that Antarctic penguins are radically shifting their start of their breeding season as temperatures warm. NPR's Nate Rott reports it could disrupt their ability to get food.
Over the course of 10 years, researchers used remote-controlled cameras to see when penguins set up colonies to breed at more than three dozen sites. They looked at three different species and found that all had moved up their breeding season by at least 10 days on average. Some populations shifted their breeding seasons up by more than 3 weeks. The Antarctic is one of the fastest warming places on Earth, as human emissions trap more heat in the atmosphere. And the study's authors warn that shifting breeding seasons could throw penguins out of sync with other parts of the environment, most concerningly other species they depend on for food. Nate Rott, NPR News.
Retired CBS Philadelphia news anchor Jim Donovan has amassed the world's largest collection of socks. Guinness World Records confirmed the collection includes 1,531 unique pairs of socks. Donovan says viewers noticed his colorful socks during his tenure on air and several sent socks that include his own face. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Lemelson Foundation, working to harness the power of invention and innovation to accelerate climate action and improve lives around the world. Learn more at lemelson.org. This is NPR.
What's new? Well, good evening. Thanks for tuning in for our evening sounds. I'm Steve Seal, and we've got the Piano Concerto by Edvard Grieg coming up in about 5 minutes. That'll be the centerpiece of this hour. And this is music of Tchaikovsky from his opera Eugene Onegin, The Polonaise.
Thank you.
Polonaise from the opera Eugene Onegin by Tchaikovsky. Leonard Slotkin led the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra.
Hey, it's Daryl Brogdon. Did you know KPR's Retro Cocktail Hour turns 30 this year? Turning 30 means worse hangovers and visible wrinkles, but it also means a party weekend here in Lawrence, Kansas, on February 27th and 28th. We've got concerts, cocktail parties, and more, and you're invited to join us. Check out the calendar of events and get your tickets now at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 41 and fair. Wind is from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 20s. Wind will be from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 50s. Wind will be from the west at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the upper teens. It's 41 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
The most famous moments in Edvard Grieg's piano concerto are the opening seconds and the final seconds, certainly for good reason, because those moments are all thrilling, and especially when Grieg makes that surprise change to the melody at the very end of the piece. He changes one note. It's just a revelation. It's so genius. But, you know, there is a lot to this piece in between, and the journey is the joy. So here is Lars Vogt at the piano with the City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra led by Simon Rattle and the Piano Concerto by Grieg. Lars Vogt, wonderful, late, amazing pianist, playing there with the City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra, led by Simon Rattle, and the Piano Concerto by Edvard Grieg. I'm Steve Seal. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Hope you're enjoying the music. And I'm going to stay in this part of the world for the remainder of this hour, that is to say, Norway, by sort of venturing around the general area, not just Scandinavia, but some sort of Eastern Bloc countries, including this one, Estonia. Ester Magi was an Estonian composer who lived until 2011. Lovely little piece that is, and it's from the 20th and 21st century Estonian composer Ester Magi. and it's called simply Psalm. Cellist Heather Chuak played there with Yoko Misumi at the piano.
Hi, I'm Mary Louise Kelly. At NPR and this station, we take our democratic role as watchdogs seriously. We hold the powerful to account, and we hold ourselves to a set of core principles: integrity, independence, accuracy, transparency, and respect for the public we serve. This is NPR News.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 38 and fair. Wind is from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 20s. Wind will be from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 50s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the upper teens. It's 38 and fair. From KPR's 24-hour weather center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is from the Finnish composer Erkki Mellartin, Songs from Lake Ladoga, played here by the Finnish Radio Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Jorma Panula. That's called Songs from Lake Ladoga by Finnish composer Erkki Mellartin. Our music supported by Progressive Insurance, providing direct car insurance rates side-by-side with other insurance carriers. Customers can see rates and find an option that works for their needs. Now, that's Progressive. Learn more at progressive.com. I'm Steve Seal.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 38 and fair. Wind is from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 20s. Wind will be from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 50s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the upper teens. It's 38 and fair. From KPR's 24-hour weather center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump signed an executive order to stop federal agencies from helping Wall Street investors buy single-family homes. The measure says those investors are crowding out first-time home buyers. Trump signed the order ahead of his address to the world's elite in Davos, Switzerland. NPR's Stephen Bisaha has more.
The order itself is pretty limited. Trump can't ban the sale of homes to institutional investors with an executive order. But his order does tell several federal agencies that in 60 days, they must stop supporting these sales through things like providing insurance or approvals. And it tells his cabinet to review rules to make those purchases harder. Last year, institutional investors only owned about 3% of the single-family rental market. But those numbers are much higher in some Sunbelt cities like Atlanta, where it's around 25%. But some economists say that what's driving up the price of housing is not the number of Wall Street investors. It's that there aren't enough homes on the market. Stephen Bisaha, NPR News.
Addressing the World's Economic Forum today in Davos, French President Emmanuel Macron said the only way to ensure global stability is through cooperation with allies. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports his speech was a thinly veiled critique of President Trump's foreign policy and worldview.
While he did not directly address Trump, Macron did not completely shy away from the subject either. He opened his speech by saying, "It's a time of peace, stability, and predictability," to considerable laughter in the room. Macron said Trump wanted to weaken and subordinate Europe with an accumulation of endless tariffs
that are fundamentally unacceptable, even more so when they are used as leverage against territorial sovereignty.
Europeans are bracing for Trump's arrival at Davos and a possible showdown over Greenland. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
Physicians in Minnesota are sounding the alarm about federal immigration agents in hospitals. Erica Zurich of Minnesota Public Radio says some patients are worried about being targeted in medical facilities.
Physicians are voicing concerns for patients as thousands of federal officers have poured into the state. Dr. Aaron Stevens is the legislative chair for Minnesota's section of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. She says the presence of ICE agents intimidates patients and obstructs access to care.
Many of our patients, undocumented immigrants, naturalized citizens, and U.S.-born citizens alike, fear leaving their homes for access to health care. They express to us a feeling of being hunted.
Stephen says that some patients are giving birth alone, while others are missing, canceling, or postponing prenatal care appointments. For NPR News, I'm Erica Zurich in Minneapolis.
The U.S. has taken control of a seventh oil tanker connected with Venezuela. It's part of the Trump administration's efforts to take control of the country's oil. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. International health officials will meet in a few months to reevaluate the United States' measles-free status. Experts fear the virus has regained a foothold and that the U.S. may soon follow Canada in losing the achievement of having eliminated it. The evaluation comes a year after the West Texas measles outbreak began. Scientists are investigating whether multiple U.S. outbreaks are linked. Consumers online are becoming more curious and critical about polyester clothing. Many users question the effects it may be having on the environment. NPR's Ayanna Archie has more.
Polyester in clothing is more common than in recent years. It's largely fueled by fast fashion consumers who want to be on trend and pay as little as possible, and the retailers that want to meet consumers' demands while keeping expenses low. But in some cases, polyester clothing doesn't hold up for long. As people toss them, abandoned clothing is ending up on coastlines in other countries, and they could stay there. Polyester isn't biodegradable.
We're kind of at the point of understanding just where the plastics are.
Aaron Stubbins, an environmental sciences professor at Northeastern University, says a lot more research is needed to draw conclusions about how polyester could be impacting our surroundings. Ayanna Archie, NPR News.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says he owes Indiana Governor Mike Braun some key lime pie and stone crabs after losing a bet when the Hoosiers beat the University of Miami Hurricanes in last night's college football championship. Had Miami prevailed, Braun would have sent pork tenderloin and sugar cream pies. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Luminescence Foundation. Luminescence Foundation is dedicated to shedding light on neurological research focused on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases and supporting land conservation initiatives. This is NPR.
And with Alexa Tarantino, one of the very finest jazz musicians to come on the scene in the last 10 or 15 years, now part of the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra. This is her new small group album called The Roar and the Whisper to open Jazz in the Night tonight on Kansas Public Radio. The tune is called Inside Looking Out, with Stephen Feifke at the piano, Philip Norris on bass, and also the drum work of Mark Whitfield Jr. I'm Bob McWilliams. Welcome to Jazz in the Night, where in a few minutes we'll hear the late, great Ahmad Jamal playing I Hear a Rhapsody. And we've got music, I think, from the first album ever that singer Carmen Lundy did. And later in the hour, good things as well. But right now, a vibraphonist who only started playing vibes 5 years ago, although he was a very fine jazz musician for a long time as a trumpeter and bandleader, but he's had some physical issues that have made playing the trumpet impossible. He could keep writing and arranging, but he was itching to play an instrument. He chose vibes, and here he is with his vibraphone debut, the album called Lost and Found, and one he wrote called Mixed Feelings. Vance Thompson on KPR.